John chapter 12. We'll be reading verses 44 through 50. Then Jesus cried out, "When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the person who hears my word but does not keep it, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. There's a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for these verses here at the end of chapter 12 of John. We ask you, O Lord, to open up the great truths that are here for us this morning. Guide the preacher and help us all, Lord, to learn your word together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These verses at the end of John, let me set the context for you. They follow a section which speaks about the unbelief of the Jews. Last time we considered verses 37 through 43, the mystery of unbelief. It says in verse 42, "But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith," some of the people, "for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they love praise from men more than praise from God." So here is a bunch of people who refuse to believe. And it's at this point that Jesus cries out and declares, "When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me." Now, Jesus is issuing a tremendous authoritative claim here. I want us to consider that today. This is actually his last public declaration to the people of the nation. So these words are very important here. From now on, the rest of this gospel involves the last week of his life and his teaching to his disciples. So this is the last public statement that Jesus makes to the Jewish people. So I want us to consider it together today. There's 3 points that I want to bring out, and I'm going to tell you what they are, and then we're going to go over each one. First of all, to believe in Jesus is to believe in God. That's the first point. The second point is to hear the words of Jesus is to hear the words of God. And the third point, to keep the words of Jesus is eternal life. Well, let's consider, first of all, verses 44 through 46, to believe in Jesus is to believe in God. Well, Jesus cries out. He is full of the Word of God. And he cries out passionately to these people who refuse to believe in him. And he said, "When a man believes in me, he's not merely believing in a man from Nazareth in Galilee, a carpenter, a man who is of the same ethnicity as you all, a man who eats the same food, who drinks the same drink, who reads the same scriptures, who walks the same roads. But if you believe in me, when a man believes in me, he believes not just in a man, but he's believing in the one who sent me. Who's he talking about? Who sent him? It's the Father, of course. It's the one that he's talking about. So to believe in Jesus means to also believe in the Father. You cannot separate Jesus and the Father. And then he goes next in verse 45. And he says, when he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. So, you see, to see Jesus is to see the one who sent him. Jesus came into the world to reveal the Father to mankind. Well, you remember that day, it's actually in the following chapter, when Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he tells them, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And Philip says to him in John 14:8, Lord, show us the Father, and that it will be enough for us. And Jesus says, don't you know me, Philip, after I've been with you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father is in me? So to see Jesus Christ is to see the one who sent him. Now, the eternal, immortal, invisible God is unseeable to the human eye. He's a spirit. And we'll never see the Father, I don't believe, but we will see Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is incarnate God. He took upon himself our nature, our flesh. He humbled himself and was implanted in the womb of a Jewish virgin named Mary. And he grew up as a normal fetus and was born. And he nursed at his mother's breast. And he grew up in this village of Nazareth with all of the temptations, the stresses of human life that all of us go through. But there was one thing about Jesus Christ. Though he had our human nature, he did not have our human sin. And he resisted every sin, and he pleased the Father every day, every moment of his life. He was in close communion with God the Father. And so, the teachings of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus, the attitude of Jesus, the response of Jesus to humans in various situations is a revelation of how God is, of his nature, of his attitude, of his feeling, of his righteousness, of his holiness, of his resistance to evil. So to see Jesus is to see God. He says in verse 45, when a man or woman looks at me, they see the one who sent me. Jesus is the human incarnation of the eternal God. He's no less God than he ever was, but he took upon himself our human nature. Oh, the condescension of God. That means that he would humble himself and become one of us. It's like yesterday when I was down in the country, there was a whole bunch of ant hills there. And I was looking at the ants, to see what kind of ants they were. Were they little black ants or were they big red fire ants? Well, I saw a little black one go in a hole. And you know, if I wanted to communicate to those ants, I could speak to them. They wouldn't understand me. The only way I could communicate with those ants was become an ant and use my antennas and communicate with them, however ants may communicate. I'd have to humble myself and become an ant. We call it hormiga in Spanish. Ant in English. And so, God the Father, the eternal God, to relate to us on our level so that we could understand Him, became a man. The second person, I should say, not the Father, the second person of the Trinity became a man, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So to see Jesus is to see the One, to see the Father who sent Him. Now this is amazing. To look upon this man, Jesus Christ, to see how He responds to people. You remember they brought the woman caught in the act of adultery. And look how Jesus handled the woman. He said, okay, all of you that are innocent of sin, you throw the first stone at her. Because they had a law that a person caught in adultery should be stoned to death. Well, nobody would pick up a stone because they knew they were guilty of sin. So Jesus confronted these people with their sin. And the woman was the only one left. They all left and walked away. And He says, woman, does no one condemn you? And she says, no one, Lord. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So Jesus came to forgive us of our sins and to deliver us from sin. This is how God responds to us human beings, the way Jesus responded to that woman that day. So to see Jesus Christ, to see the One who sent Him. Jesus says in verse 46, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in Me should stay in darkness. You see, to believe in Jesus is not only to believe in the One who sent Him and to see the One who sent Him, but it is to escape from darkness. There's a positive side here. It's to see God the Father revealed through Christ, and it's to escape the darkness that is the opposite of God the Father. You see, what does He say? Should stay in darkness. Every person born is born spiritually dark. Because we're born guilty of Adam's sin, and we're guilty of our own sin. We're born with a sinful nature. Though we may live in an area where the sun shines 350 days of the year, inside our hearts and minds, there is a gross spiritual darkness that is opposed to God, that is rebellious against God, that is stubborn, that is set on its own agenda, not the glory of God. And this is where we will remain unless God delivers us from our own spiritual darkness. How do we get delivered? Jesus said, believe in Me. If you believe in Me, you will not stay in that darkness, but you will escape that darkness and come into the light of My kingdom. Now, in the Gospel of John, light and darkness are two themes that we see a number of times. The light represents God, His holiness, His glory, everything that's good and wholesome and beautiful and lovely. And darkness is the opposite. It comes from the evil one. It's opposed to God. and is full of sin and evil and condemnation. But Jesus says, no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. These people who were unbelievers, they were still in darkness. Jesus is saying, if you believe in me, you will leave your darkness. Most of the people of the world are not even aware. We're not aware how dark is the darkness that we are in captivity to until we come to the light. And then we begin to understand how great was the darkness that God delivered us from. Well, first great truth here, Jesus cries out. And what he's saying, to believe in me is to believe in the one who sent me. And the second great truth begins here in verse 47. And that is to hear the words of Jesus is to hear the words of God. He says in verse 47, for the man who hears my words does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. There's a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. Look down at the last sentence. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. So Jesus here is pointing out the cruciality of his teaching, of his words. These people had heard his teachings. They'd heard a lot of it. Some of them, or many of them. You see, but you can hear the teaching of Christ and not keep them. So it's dangerous spiritually to have heard the teachings of Christ and not respond to them. Now Jesus says in verse 49, I did not speak of my own accord. Other translations say my own authority, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. We could translate that, what to say and what to speak. In other words, when Jesus gave his teachings, the authority and the truth of God the Father was behind every word that he said. It would have been enough if only Jesus himself gave these teachings. But every teaching he gave was directly given to him from God the Father. So God the Father's authority, as well as his own authority, stood behind all of his teaching. Now we read earlier in the service the passage, the great prophecy that Moses gave in Deuteronomy 18, in which he told the people that God would send a prophet like him. And he says in verse 18 of Deuteronomy 18, I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. So this is exactly what is happening in the ministry of Jesus Christ. God is putting his words in Jesus' mouth, and Jesus is telling them everything that God the Father commanded him to tell the people. It says in verse 18 of Deuteronomy 18, he will tell them everything I command him. And that's what Jesus is saying here. That everything the Father told him to teach, he did it. He did it exactly as the Father told him to teach it. The NIV says here, But the Father, verse 49, who sent me, commanded me what to say and how to say it. Every command that God the Father gave His Son, He fulfilled it. He fulfilled it completely, every dot and tittle. He commanded me what to say and how to say it. Or what to say and what to speak. So when we hear the teachings of Jesus Christ, it is on an equal plane. It carries the authority of God Almighty. Those who would be obedient and submissive to God Almighty must be obedient and submissive to the words of Jesus Christ, to the teaching of Jesus Christ. Now, what about those who hear His word and don't keep it? Well, Jesus has something to say there. He says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Here's the key thing. We must put Jesus' words into practice. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus is declaring His last teaching publicly in the context of the unbelief of the Jews. What were they going to do? Were they going to build their lives upon the rock of His Word or not? Or were they going to build their lives on sand? Well, James, we believe was the brother, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, had something similar to say here. In chapter 1, verse 22, through 25, James says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Jesus, in His teaching, is delivering the authoritative word from heaven of God Almighty. And it is a precious treasure, as well as a command to all people to listen, to obey, and to put it into practice. And this is what we must do as disciples of Jesus Christ. We must build our lives upon the rock of His Word, and we must put His Word into practice in our lives. Not forgetting about it, but implementing it in our lives. So Jesus stands up and He cries out with great emotion because what He's saying is so crucial. To believe in Me, He says, is to believe in the One who sent Me. And to believe My words is to believe the very words of the living God. Build your lives upon the rock, not upon the sand that will crumble when the storms come. Put My word into practice. Receive it into your lives. Feast upon it. Eat of it. Drink of it. Make it the guiding and motivating force of your life. Well, you see, the final point I want to mention here today is that to keep the words of Jesus is eternal life. Look at verse 50. I know that His command leads to eternal life. He says in verse 49, what the Father has commanded me, I say it, and I say it, I deliver it exactly as He told me to. He's a faithful messenger. He's an apostle of God the Father. He delivers faithfully the message that God told him to. And what is the result in the lives of those who receive this authoritative word from God Almighty delivered through Jesus of Nazareth? Verse 50 says, His command leads to eternal life. Now, we look at the Greek text, it says, His command is eternal life. Is eternal life. You see, to receive the authoritative Word of God into our minds and hearts produces, creates eternal life. The Word of God is eternal life as we receive it into our inner beings, as we embrace the Word of God, for it is living and active and pierces to the very depths of our being, to our spirits and our souls. It is life. The words of Jesus Christ are life. The commands of God the Father given through Jesus Christ are eternal life. To receive His promises, to receive His Word, is to be born again, to receive salvation, to believe in Him. Jesus here talks about believing in Himself, calling upon them to believe in Him, to hear His Word, to keep His Word. So Jesus issues a summary of some of His major teachings to these people. And He delivers to them some very serious words here. The words He delivers to these Jewish people on that day are applicable to every man, woman, and child ever born on the earth. How can we know God? How can we hear from God? How can we know the will of God? It is through Jesus Christ, through His words and through His life and through His ministry. The gospel of Jesus Christ comes from Him who was sent by God the Father. He spoke His teachings. It was recorded by His disciples, the apostles, and delivered to the church by the guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So God calls upon all men everywhere to believe in Jesus Christ. And He has confirmed that Jesus Christ is His Son by raising Him from the dead. And He calls upon all people to repent of their sins and to believe in Jesus Christ as the one sent from the Father to reveal the Father, to reveal the will of the Father, to reveal the teachings and the commands of the Father, to embrace these, to believe in Jesus Christ as the Father's Son, and to live in obedience to Him all the days of their lives. This is Jesus Christ, true God in the flesh, and eternal life. Let us believe in Him, let us follow His Word, and let us declare Him to our generation. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. We thank You, our Father, that You did not leave us in the ignorance and lost the state of our sins, but sent Your Son into the world to reveal Your nature, as well as to bear our sins, to teach us the truth, to deliver the commands from Your throne, to lead us in the way everlasting, to bring us to eternal life. We thank You for this blessed Savior, for His blessed teaching, for the power of His Word, which transforms our inner beings, which creates eternal life, which unites us to Yourself. Help us, Lord, to continue to learn Your Word, to grow in the knowledge of Your Word, the application of Your Word to our lives, in communion with You, the true and living God. Strengthen us, O Lord, to know You, to serve You, to love You, and to proclaim You. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray.
Amen.